Makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it? Yeah. I think it's fitting that we're going to conclude this series sold out with Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Marvin Gaye. It's soul, pure gold. I love some of the words. My love's alive way down in my heart. If you've ever need a helping hand, I'll be there in a double, as fast as I can. Don't you know there ain't no mountain high enough? There ain't no valley low enough. There ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. We started the series asking a question. What if every Christ follower sold out fully and completely to Jesus Christ? What if every Christ follower were to live by the golden rule and treat each and every person that crosses our path the way that we would like to be treated? And I said, every seat in this place would be full if every Christ follower were to do that. In fact, Jesus said, if his kingdom workers would be about it, we could change the world. And so we've talked about the importance of respecting people. In other words, loving people where they're at in their life. And that we love them because God loves them. And because they matter to God, they matter to us. We talked about the importance of loving them for just who they are and where they are. And everything in us, we should work really hard at welcoming and serving other people. And then last week we talked about the importance of encouraging others. Now you should know that when we were first putting this series together, initially I come up with 15 different topics that we could put into this series. Hold on, we're not going to do all 15. But after today, we will have done 6, and so what I'm going to do is take those others, and we'll come at them another day, another series. But when we were looking at it, there was never any doubt in my mind what topic I would finish with. I am reminded every time I get a phone call and I find out that somebody has died, every time I am with someone that is dying, every time I stand at a gravesite, it becomes very clear to me, crystal clear, that the most important thing, hands down, a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am reminded in that moment, I am reminded that life is fragile, that this life is brief. I'm reminded that the death rate still sits at 100%. We will all face it someday. And I am reminded that it's the most important thing that the church does. It's why we exist. It's our mission statement at Faith Fellowship. It's to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people that cross your path. When there's an opportunity, you share. You take it. You seize it. You present Jesus Christ anytime and every time you get a chance. Why? Because life's short. Because the stakes are high. Because eternity is in the balance for someone. There is no higher calling whatsoever. None. There's no higher calling than that. It's why Jesus came to this world. And in fact, he answers that question many times. People go, why'd you come? Why'd you come, Jesus? And he would go, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's the primary reason Jesus came to the world. You know, through the years, that just becomes clearer and clearer to me that that's our call. And you look at Jesus, and every time he's sharing a message, he was sharing it hoping that people would listen and hear that there was a God that loves them. 33 years he walked this planet, ends up dying on the cross for the sins of the world. Why? To make a relationship with God possible. And it's interesting because after Jesus resurrects from the dead, he gives kind of his final instructions to his followers. It's right before he ascends to heaven. And he says this in the book of Mark. He says, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Jesus says, I want you to go. I want you to walk to every point and place on this planet. I want you to get in your boats, get on your horses, and go share the good news. You know, the Gospel of Matthew adds, go and make disciples. But it's very clear, Jesus says, I want you to go and share the good news with everybody around you. The Apostle Paul, he would come along and he would gravitate toward the same call. You see it in his words when you read them. You see it in his life and how he lived. The fact is, I think about Paul spent so much time in prison because of preaching the gospel. He'd end up in prison. And there's one occasion when word came that he was going to get released from prison. And so Paul immediately starts planning all the things he's going to do when he gets out. It's the natural response because you're looking at what you can do with this new freedom that you have. I assume that he's sitting down doing a bucket list going, okay, these are things I'm planning on doing, you know. And he writes this to the church. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Paul says, the first thing I want to do when I get out, and I want you to pray for it, is that I get an opportunity to present Jesus Christ to as many people as I can. You understand this? Paul's getting out of prison. All this stuff he wants to do, he's not thinking about going to a Coldplay concert. He's not thinking about the restaurants that he's going to get to eat at. He's not thinking about getting tickets to see the Penguins play, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, all the Blues fans know where I'm going. But he says, please, please, please pray for me when I get out, that God gives me an opportunity. He opens a door where I can share Jesus Christ. And then he adds to the prayer. He says, also pray that I can proclaim it clearly. Because he wants to present the message so that it's easy for people to understand. And so he believes if he can communicate it clearly, that they'll respond. They'll give their lives to Jesus Christ. Can you feel the passion in that? You know, Paul is sold out to the thought of being able to share Jesus Christ. You hear it in his words over and over and over in Scripture. I mean, this Scripture just embodies it. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that die is gain, he goes, then I'll get to go home and be with Jesus. Friends, I do not know what kind of circumstance, what needs to happen in your life to create that kind of determination, that kind of passion in you. But I believe that in the life of every Christ follower, there comes a moment, a time, when the importance of that grabs you. It captures you. And I know some of you are kind of going, I'm a little lukewarm on this whole idea. But there will come a day. Everybody faces it. There will come a day when you truly contemplate eternity and you consider the alternatives, and it will rock you to your core, and you will realize it is the most important thing that you do with your life is to share Jesus Christ. In fact, you'll come to a point and you go, it's the most important thing I can do the remainder of my life. however long it is. The beginning of every year, I sit down. I've done this for years. I evaluate my kind of priorities, my goals. I do personal stuff, and I do my stuff as a leader, as a pastor. And I try to think about what is the most important thing that I do. And for many, many, many years, I have come to the same conclusion over and over and over. The greatest gift that I can give somebody is to introduce them to a God that loves them. Isn't anything greater? And I can only do that when I respect people and I love people where they're at, and I serve people and I welcome them, and I, from time to time, try and inspire them. And if I do all those things, however clumsy it may come off, if I do those things, I might be given an opportunity to share Jesus Christ in their life in a very effective way because of that. They might get to see God, a God that loves them, for the first time because I've taken the time to love them. And then they just might take that step across and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It changes them internally and eternally, but it is the most significant thing that you can give another person, hands down, nothing greater. Sometimes I think about friends that I have that are far from God, and some of them, just to be blunt, they're self-destructive. They're making choices that hurting them or hurting their family. You know, relationally they're getting hurt, or physically, emotionally, spiritually, all that stuff. And the fact is, some of my friends, they're putting way too much attention on stuff, you know, materialism, achievements, and it's just wreaking havoc in their life. And I see all that dysfunctional kind of lifestyle. These are people that I love and care about. Every person I know, every person, I don't do much stereotyping, every person I know, big statement, all inclusive, everyone I know would absolutely be better off with Jesus Christ in their life, period. They would find the things that they're longing for. They would find satisfaction. They would find joy. They would find peace. They would find what they're searching and hunting for in Jesus Christ. They'd quit the self-destructive stuff. Every person I know, their life absolutely would be better if Jesus Christ was in the center of it. And so, I orient my life toward presenting to as many people as will listen, anyone, everyone, Jesus Christ. And so, what if God's people, people that call Faith Fellowship home, sold themselves out to that? What if everybody here decided, you know what? When I get an opportunity, I'm going to take it. Everywhere I go, as often as I can, I will share Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what would happen? Now, I want you to hold that thought, okay? I'm going to shift gears. And I want to look back at an account in the Old Testament. And it may seem random, but trust me, I'll pull it back together, okay? Old Testament times, wars would be fought. And there were two main ways that they would go to war. One, you would just storm a city. And you'd tear down the walls and the gates, and you'd just go in and conquer it. That's one. Other times, what you would do is surround a city. And you would lay siege to it. And basically, you'd go, we're going to wait you out, because at some point, you got to come out of the gates. And so this is what's happening in our story. They've surrounded the city of Samaria. And the story is found in 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. You can read it for devotions this week. But city of Samaria surrounded. The Armenian army is surrounded them. Historians believe there may have been 50,000 troops that surrounded the city. Archers would have been in the front. Their main goal was anybody that came out of the city, they just kill them immediately. They come out to get water, take them out. They come out to take care of their fields, you take them out. Come out to feed their livestock. Basically, you're keeping everything from them. And so what has happened in Samaria at this point is the livestock is all dead. Water's scarce. The economy ends up crashing. People are starving to death. And in fact, finally, you know from the story that cannibalism has set in. It's really awful and hard to comprehend that. But the Bible says there were four lepers. And in that day, leprosy was terminal. And they would have lived right by the gate of the city, probably on the outskirt of the city, but they would have been by the gates. And so these four lepers are talking, and finally one of them goes, I'm done with this. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm going to die of leprosy. I know that. But I'm going to die sooner from starvation. And so enough's enough. I've had it. I'm going to go toward the enemy camp. I'm going to just walk out there and walk toward them. And I'm sure his buddies are like, dude, you crazy? Have you lost it? Do you know how many archers they have? You won't even make it 10 steps. But he says, well, then I'll die. But I'm going out. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll have mercy on me. Maybe I'll live. And so these three, they think, you know, he might be onto something here. And so the four of them kind of plot and strategize, and they decide they're going to go toward the enemy camp. And I imagine that they were a little bit tentative at first. You know, it was like, hey, don't shoot. You know, maybe one of them had a white flag. They're going, we come in peace, we come in peace. Scripture says this. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Armenian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the gallop of horses and the sound of a great army approaching. King of Israel's hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panic and they run into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. So you picture this? They walk in, nobody's there. These lepers have not had a good meal in probably a year, maybe longer. And so they start eating and drinking. Then they start trying on clothes. Oh, this fits pretty good, you know. There are all these weapons around and supplies. There's an iPad and some laptops, and they're gathering stuff up. And after they've eaten their fill, I can almost imagine one of them turning and going, guys, we ought to get as much as we can. And you remember that cave? Well, let's go hide stuff in the cave. You know, let's maybe bury some things around so that in the future we'll have a good stash. You know, because before long, everybody in the city's going to figure out what's happened out here and that there's nobody here. And so this idea is starting to gain steam. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, cool. That'd be great. Then they said to each other, yeah, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace. So they have a moment where it's like, hey, wait a minute. You know, we have everything we need. I mean, while we're thinking about how we're going to kind of hoard this stuff up, you know, thinking about the garage that we're going to fill up, and maybe we could rent some space and put this stuff in. People are dying in the city. This just isn't right, guys. Today's a day of good news, and we need to go tell the people. And so they agree, and so they go into the city, and they tell the people what they found, and so people start streaming out of the city. And they're finding food and drinks and supplies. And they start celebrating. I imagine some of them were dancing. Now, we do not know this from the text. This is my read on it. I think those four lepers, they're watching everything that's happening. You know, they see kids, children that are eating and laughing. And I'm going to guess their hearts are just pounding. You know, they see elderly people that are eating and they're sobbing for joy. And I imagine they felt pretty good in that moment. They felt pretty good that they went and shared that good news. Much better than if they'd have gathered everything up and put it in a barn. You know, they did the right thing. They did the godly thing. It was a day of great news, and they told everyone in the city. And friends, now the people's joy is their joy, isn't it? And some of you know where this is going, don't you? When you turn that corner in your life, and you sell yourself out completely to Jesus Christ, and you decide that you will share the good news with anyone and everyone as often as you can, to anyone you can, because you know what you have. You just share it. Because why? There's a chance they might hear it. They might receive it. It's good news. It's good news. And some of you know what that feels like. Because some of you, you've invited someone to church. Just, hey, come join me. And they came. And then they kept coming back. And then one day they walked across the line. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. And it blew you away. Wow. What if I hadn't done that? Greatest gift you can give another person, hands down, introduce them to a God that loves them. And when you see the results of that, it is a powerful thing and it's a motivating thing. In fact, it'll change your life. And so again, I say, what if we sold ourselves out to Jesus Christ? What if we decided that anytime the Holy Spirit prompts us that we'll share the good news? What if we were to tell others what Jesus Christ has done in our lives? I mean, what if we were to get more deliberate about asking people, hey, come join me. You got a church? Don't. Come join me. So that they could see and experience what God is doing. So they could hear the good news. Friends, our teams here work hard to make this a place where people can connect. We work hard to be creative and compelling because it matters. What if we all decided, you know what, I'm going to share good news with people around me. And this is not difficult. It is not hard. And I want to just give you some quick suggestions. One, first pray about it. Pray about it. I'm always challenging you to have devotions on a daily basis. Find a place where you can spend 10, 15 minutes with God every day. And you just talk to God. You pray, read your Bible, you know, maybe get a devotional. You can go online to ffworship.com. You can get a devotional that ties in with our topic every week. And you just spend some time with God. But now you take a moment in that time and you just say, God, who? In fact, as I said that, some of you, God's already given you a name of someone. But pray and ask God to use you, to show you the who in your life. And then you have to start paying attention. Everybody here has a sphere of influence. You have opportunities all around you at work, in your neighborhood, at school, the gym, the club. You have those moments when you're connecting with someone. It could even be someone you don't even know in a grocery store sometimes. But you're connecting and you're having a conversation and there's an opportunity. It's just there. And so someone comes across your path, and if you've been praying about it, what will happen, God will show you that opportunity. He'll nudge you to just share with them a word of encouragement, or to share and invite, what have you. And I believe when you're sensitive to God and you're sensitive to the people around you, the opportunities are all around you. And God will arrange more opportunities as you're faithful. But you need to be willing. You need to be willing. Now, hear this. This is not about being obnoxious. This is not about getting in some debate about some issue. It's about making a simple invite, seeing someone who's struggling or disillusioned and stepping in beside them. It's sensing the Holy Spirit's nudge to how you're supposed to respond. You know, you see someone down and they're talking to you about it. And at some point they go, I've been there. But God's helped me. See, there's the opportunity. It's just opened up. This isn't complicated, friends. It's just about what God's done in your life. Almost every person I know that's given their life to Jesus Christ, you can track it back to a casual conversation that turned into an opportunity. And they took that step and they kept coming. And at some point, they gave their life to Jesus Christ. Friends, it's how it often happens. But you have to be looking for the opportunities around you. And you have to be willing to share as God prompts you to share. Can I say this kindly? Some of you need to broaden your circles at work, at school, in your neighborhood. There, Christians, if the only people you know are Christians, something's terribly wrong. Broaden your relationships. Get intentional about broadening your influence in your life. If you've known someone for a little while, some of them you've known a long while, and you do not know if they're a Christian or not, something's wrong. Houston, we got a problem. See, this is about loving people, and it's about the long haul in life. It's anyone and everyone that crosses your path. And as we've said through this, it's always about respecting people and loving people where they are. Being welcoming. People sense if you love and care about them. Or if they're just some project. This isn't about fixing people. Did you hear that? This isn't about fixing people. It's about introducing them to a God that loves them. And when people realize that you care about them and that you truly love them, it's amazing because people tend to be pretty open at that point. Friends, I have seen lives changed. I've seen eternity marked over and over again. I've seen marriages saved. I've seen families transformed because somebody just stepped in and took the opportunity to say, you know what, you need Jesus Christ. If you invite someone, we will not embarrass you. Do we embarrass people around here? No. We meet people where they are. We care about them where they are. We will love them where they are. But we will communicate the good news of Jesus Christ as clearly as we can, as creatively as we can, and as concisely as we can. If you have the opportunity and allow God to use you, friends, I can only imagine where that might lead. Now, I know some of you understand that. You understand there are some things you can do. You go, yeah, I know, I can pray. I can pray about it. And, you know, I can even imagine having a conversation with someone and going, hey, why don't you come to church with me? I'll meet you and we'll have breakfast beforehand and then we'll go to church together. But I know some of you are freaking out right now. You know, because you're afraid someone's going to ask you a question and go, can you explain Christianity? You know, I know people worry about this stuff. You know, what if someone asks me a question I can't answer? Well, let me just say something. There are lots of questions that are not easily answered. There are some you're never going to get an answer. But if you've been around here, you've heard me share this before, and I'm going to share it again. When someone goes, well, what's it mean to be a Christian? I always go to the do and done example. You know, religion. You know, sometimes I'll write do or done down on a napkin or piece of paper. And I'll say religion's a spelled do. It's a to-do list. And people, because they realize they've offended God by not living right, you know, by sinning, what they do is try and do things to appease God. Religions have long lists of do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do this. The problem with religion, you never know when you've done enough. You'll wear yourself out. Religion is a dead end. And I'll usually tell people at that point, I'll go, look, I am not into religion. They go, you're a pastor, aren't you? I'm not into religion. I'm into a relationship with Jesus Christ is what I'm into. This isn't about a to-do list. It's about what's been done, D-O-N-E. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's done for us by coming to this world, by dying on the cross for our sins. And when we accept him as Savior, we're forgiven. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, we can all have a relationship with God. So there's a big difference between religion and Christianity. Religions do. Christianity is about being done. That's a pretty succinct way. Sometimes I'll throw in, I'll say, have you ever watched at the ball game, they got John 3:16, their hold up sign? And I'll say, do you know what that scripture is? And I'll say, it's for God so loved the world. He gave his only son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then I'll say, did you notice it says, believes in him. Believes in him. Doesn't say who behaves in him. Says who believes. See, again, big, big difference. Religion's about doing. Christianity is about a relationship and believing in the one that's already done it. Now, here's another way to approach that. You know, sometimes I'll take and draw a picture of a chasm and create big space on paper, you know, just two lines and go, God's over here and a person's over here. And this person wants to get way over there to God, but they can't because there's a big gap. I mean, it's huge. They've done some things that they shouldn't have. They've sinned. And so they're on this side, and they can't fix it. They can't get over there to the other side. No amount of self-improvement or no personal effort on their part, they cannot get over there. But God, and I'll draw a cross in between it where they could walk across on the cross. Because of what Jesus Christ did, they can get over here. Because of what Jesus Christ did, we can have a relationship with God. We can do that. We can take that step. You know, it says he saved us because of his mercy. Not because of any good thing that we've done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Gave us new birth and fresh beginning. He sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us his Spirit. Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. Oh yeah, he has. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. Friends, you can share that. People understand that. But you know what the most powerful tool is that you have? To tell your story. And I know as I say that, some of you go, well, I don't really have a good story. I don't have much to say. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There was a time in your life that you were far from God. You were distant from God. There was a time in your life, many of you, you did the religion thing. You thought, oh, I can do enough stuff and I'll make God happy. And it didn't work. There was a time in your life when you thought you could get to God, you could work your way there. There was a time before you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And you just need to be able to share that. Share who you were before you had a relationship, before you got serious, some of you would say, before I got serious about God. Just explain how you've changed. Explain what you've learned. Explain how your life is better since Jesus Christ was put in the center of it. Since you started trusting God, how's your life better? That is the most powerful story that you can share, hands down. It's personal, it's real, and it's easy for people to understand. You know, I remember when I first gave my life to Jesus Christ. Sometimes I just close my eyes, I can see it. I was out at Lake Springfield Christian Assembly. And I said, yes, God, I want you. That changed everything in my life. Changed the whole trajectory of my life that day. I have shared the good news for decades now with all kinds of people in all kinds of places. Some of them just bizarre, you know. It's like, wow, only God can arrange this. And no matter how many times I've shared it, it never gets old. I get just as excited today as I did the very first time I shared Christ with someone. I live for those moments where I can just see God work and change a person's life. There is nothing better. There is nothing more important. The opportunities, friends, are all around you. God invites you every single day if you just pay attention. And it starts with just a simple prayer. God, use me. God, use me. Send somebody across my path. Well, God's been sending people, but now it heightens your awareness because you say, okay, God, I'm ready. You know, help me pay attention. Help me recognize the opportunities. God, give me the words because I'm going to fumble this up. And I believe you get strategic about that and intentional. Prepare yourself for that moment. When you have the opportunity, you invite somebody. You have the opportunity, maybe you have to do the do and done. You know, you write it on a piece of paper and just explain it. You know, draw the chasm, put the cross in the center. Share your story. Maybe that's what God wants you to do. But the fact is, God will prompt you. God will give you the wisdom to go, okay, here's what you need to do. And you just share the good news of Jesus Christ. Friend, we should run in the cities, in our schools, in our businesses. And when God gives you the opportunity, we should share the good news. I mean, if we're sold out to Jesus Christ, that's what Christ followers do. It's what we're called to do. You know, let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we, every one of us that call ourselves yours, there's somebody that shared the good news with us. God, I pray right now, just people all around Faith Fellowship, that they'd see that person or persons. God, we give you thanks for them. We owe everything to that moment. And God, as we look forward to our week, I pray your people would be looking for the opportunity. I pray your Holy Spirit would just press us till we can't do anything but go, share, put our arm around someone. Say, I'm here for you, whatever you need. I know a God that loves you, and he's paying attention to what's going on in your life. God, I pray you would use us, that you would just unleash us. God, that you would change lives. This world needs you. Our community needs you. Our friends, our family, the people we work with, they need you. God, use us as your tool. We need to be doing something, we'll be about it. We need to speak up, we'll speak up. Whatever it is you need from us, God, use us in a significant way, because there's nothing better. There's nothing better than seeing someone bow a knee to you. God, I pray that we would be your people, that we'd hear your call, and that we'd give you the glory with all we say and do. In Christ's holy name we pray. God's people said, let's prepare for communion and worship together.